I want to kind of compartmentalize the questions. You know, we need to answer this question first, then this question, then this question. So, yeah, but I'm not sure we got to the question just yet. But of course. So, point out to us, Joel, the setbacks that we're talking about here.
So, this would be the front yard. The PDD currently requires, and that dark line is the property line, the easement right away, whatever it's going to end up being for the public road, this public road. 25-foot setback is required. Their setback is anywhere from, you know, 1 or 2 feet to 0 foot over here to a couple feet over here. So they would like to go down to zero, and that's probably what they need in that corner right there. This is one of the side yards. That setback is 10 feet. It's a 0 foot or 1 foot approximately. This side would be the rear yard. That's also a 25-foot setback. So again, but they're asking for a 0 foot setback. So what they're saying, and it's not so much as a carte blanche or carte blanche, because they are saying plan commission approval of the site plan. So, but you won't know what that setback will be until you see the site plan. And they're breaking this into phases. So there probably will be similar issues on the building over here. This is going to be the indoor baseball facility, soccer facility with some medical uses. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to have similar encroachment and setback issues. The apartments south of Rawson also will have setback issues, not as severe as these. And that staff has completed its initial review of, so I've been able to confirm that there are setback issues south of Rawson, but not as severe as the C1. But the building over here might have similar 0 foot setbacks. Okay. Other buildings are not as far along, so even the applicant might not know what those
are. So let's not talk about those.
Sure. Yep.
So the question I have for you, Joel, as a planner and Mr. Fuchs, what is the purpose of a setback as it relates to this type of development?
It's to provide room, two main purposes, space for things and visual and aesthetic purposes. So the setback in a commercial area, so sidewalks, outdoor seating areas, benches, any kind of equipment, utilities, infrastructure, all those things would be allowed because you don't want to put everything in the street. You don't want the sidewalk in the street. You don't want the bench in the street, and you don't want the utilities underneath the building. So that setback provides that opportunity for all that. The setback also provides the aesthetics. You know, if you want a more rural or suburban atmosphere, you want front yards, that kind of stuff. Even in commercial status, most of our zoning districts require a substantial setback in the front yard, even for commercial zoning districts. The setback as currently adopted in this PDD is among one of the smaller ones. It is not the smallest setbacks that we have, but it is among the smallest. It's based in large part on the OL2 zoning district. Again, so its staff's further compromise would be that we have a 10-foot setback on the sides, 10-foot setback, so that's staff's compromise. It's not in the ordinance. If you like it, then you would have to add it. 10-foot on the sides, 10-foot in the front, and we're still recommending, in this case, the 25 in the back. There's another setback that we'll get to in a couple minutes that's a 40-foot setback, but I'll talk about that later. So right now, that's the building setbacks. They're proposing zero, and then I'm proposing 10 in front, 10 in sides, 25 in the back.
Okay. This is, what do we call it, right-of-way?
No.
Why is the right-of-way here and not here?
Good question.
They pay me. I mean, that's...
If the road was designed at Justin 40 feet curb to curb.
Do we have a microphone for Greg?
No. Justin, maybe you can help on some of these. And that's why I wanted to put out, I wanted to see for myself and us as we go through this, guys, when you look at the setback, no one knows where the actual property line is. So I wanted to look at it with the distance from the curb
to the building, where are we at for the what's, you know, what I call the practical or the implied setback, how far the building is from the roads, and that's what we put together with this. On that north side, we're 19 to 37 feet away. The west side, this I greened in some parking stalls that are on the west side of that building, which we agreed per staff's recommendations to remove. So we're currently 23 feet from the road to the building on the west side. And then on the south side, even though we're only a couple of feet from the technical right-of-way of Rawson, where the improvements that we've got planned for Rawson, we're 54 feet away from that curb line. So I wanted to draw in the green space that we're proposing to get the visual look and feel of what this is actually going to be, regardless of whether the property line's on, you know, those planter boxes on the north side of the building. If the property line was on the north side of that, we'd have a bigger setback. But the distance isn't, you know, we can move it all the way to the curb if we want to, but the distance from the curb to the building is what I thought was the important piece.
Well, so my question remains, if this currently is the right-of-way, why isn't it here? Are there any utilities under here?
No, there aren't any utilities under that sidewalk. Sorry.
That's actually supposed to be a one-word answer.
No.
Okay. So I go back to my original question, and I'm going to look at staff to answer this. Why is that not the right-of-way?
One is because sidewalks are usually in the public right-of-way.
Why?
Because it's usually our responsibility to maintain them.
It's not in this case.
Two, it's emergency room for snow storage. Three, if we ever need to widen that road, we got the room, and it's easier to take out a sidewalk than to take somebody's private property.
Okay. Those are all good answers. I'm going to leave my opinion out for a moment. Commissioner?
I got a question.
All right, Commissioner Moore.
I have a question for City Attorney. I know we had a lot of discussion on having the developer clear snow, and I was willing to have DPW make a pass down each direction, but I didn't want to clear it out. That's why we allowed them lack of snow storage locations, I guess, so that they would have to figure that out on their own. Where did that wind up at? Is that in the agreement somewhere?
The agreement was only through June of this year with regard to street and snow maintenance, at least with regard to the one that I worked on.
Okay.
And it has not reached that point yet, but with regard to the actual roads within the project site, the status on that per the development agreement was that those will be agreed to with terms by way of easement as opposed to a dedication in fee of the right-of-ways to the city.
Okay, so where's the appropriate location to get them to agree? Because we all sat in a room with their attorneys, our attorneys, and talked about them actually clearing the snow so we wouldn't have to try to figure out where to put snow. Where would we stick that agreement?
I'd have to look at it. It's the first time the issue's been raised outside of that temporary resolution, temporary maintenance discussion.
If I recall correctly, that's still yet to be determined as part of the conditions of you guys accepting that road. What's going to, the snow storage clearing the Oak Leaf Trail, what's going to happen with that and the maintenance on it is still a up in the air that needs to get mutually agreed upon before you guys accept the road.
So let's be practical here, Glenn. I'm going to be you for a minute.
Sure.
A plow comes in, drops his blade.
Yep.
Goes up here, turns the corner, which then consequently buries those parking stalls.
Yep.
Comes around, he turns his blade and buries these parking stalls.
Yep.
Comes through here, buries this driveway, and then goes on his merry way. Comes back, buries all of these parking spots, goes across, buries this side, this mall.
Yeah, I'm hearing a theme here.
Yeah. So they're going to have to take these out anyway. Because we're not going to go plow those parking spots, are we?
No. I thought I made that clear that we weren't going to, you know, plow. That's why I was okay with sidewalks going up to curb. All that plan looks a little different. Is that the green supposed to be green space?
No, it's just
yeah, it's yeah. A little grass. There's little grass there. You get some grass between the sidewalk.
Well, regardless, you have an extra wide road. You've got all the parking stalls. We really don't have room to put snow there. So I thought the deal was is that we were, you know, I would make a pass in each direction, but for the most part, it was up to the homeowners association, whatever you call it, to contract and figure out where to put snow and pile snow and move snow. And
yeah, I know that was discussed. I don't think it was ever formally finalized.
I'm getting to a compromise here, you know.
So can I get them to agree to it here?
Joel, you know where I'm going with this. You make this the right-of-way, and the developer is in charge of removing all the snow on his property. Then we've got the right-of-way here. You've got your setbacks. That's my political answer, Commissioner Haley.
Sounds like a good answer. I guess my question goes back to the city attorney. No, so the talk is, even though we're labeling an 80-foot right-of-way, it wouldn't be a dedicated right-of-way. It would be an easement for traffic and street that the city would actually have.
And utilities.
So and then utilities. It doesn't need to be two parallel lines. It could jog in and out. It will basically be whatever the city's willing to take over and maintain.
Yes, and that would be true whether it's dedicated in fee or whether it's an easement. I mean, the layout is per city specifications, and I believe that requirement is in the development agreement per standard city specifications. So.
And there's typically a desire to have parallel right-of-ways of known widths and stuff, but because we'd be doing it as an easement, it could be an irregular line, and it could follow whatever the city and the developer want to compromise on, correct?
Commissioner Morrow.
The only difficulty with that, so right-of-way is for all public utilities, too. So let's say cable TV or some other gas or something wanted to go down. You don't want them jogging in and out, or they'd have to acquire an easement through.
Understood.
Both are, yeah.
It also, I heard we're not putting utilities in there. Both. Normal practice, that's why the right-of-way and the width is there.
Well, utilities have to go somewhere.
To
clarify that, there's no utilities underneath that particular sidewalk north of this building. In other areas, there are utilities underneath some sidewalks.
I'm seeing dedicated easements for utilities along the south.
On the south end, then they jog up.
That's where the stuff's coming in. Mm-hmm. So in the case of this building, it may not be germane.
Mr. Deal.
One other thing I would note, these micro towers and other similar facilities that are starting to be proposed all across the country, we would have more control on their location if they're put in the public right-of-way. We will have less control if they're off on private land. So if we had concerns about putting those towers, these small towers, immediately adjacent to the road, it's our right-of-way, we'd have a little bit more control, subject to whatever the final legislation at state and federal level is.
But if this is now private property,
they could put those towers there, and then we would not be able to say no.
But the developer needs to approve it.
Right.
You're not going to put a micro tower in the middle of a parking spot. So, sorry, Charlie. Now, they may put a micro tower on the top of the building. I appreciate you bringing it up. That's your job. As far as I'm concerned. Because the reality is BPC master developer is not going to let them put micro towers right in there, I wouldn't think. Greg. Commissioner Hogan.
Mayor, what you're proposing, would that be better for the snow removal then?
Mr. City Engineer.
I still want to go back to our earlier conversation where it's my understanding that the developer was going to worry about cleaning the snow.
It's always been my understanding.
Yeah.
And that's
what I've been telling my guys.
I don't think it's ever been decided. I thought that was part of before the final dedication of the road, that was one of the items that had to get formally written up and addressed.
So, okay, here's the mayor again, right? They want zero setbacks right now from there. As a compromise, I'm saying right away starts there. Mm-hmm. Given that, they clean up the snow. The way it works.
They meaning
in the developer or the homeowners association, whatever. Okay. So still yet to be determined is if the city plows this road. But when we come around that corner, we're going straight down the road. We're not worried about this. And you're getting all the snow. It's the way I look at it.
I understand.
That's a good answer.
Well, I don't know the full implications of that, whether it's in the right-of-way or an easement, wherever the width is. I don't know if by changing that, if that affects the old leaf trails no longer. I don't know what PTF implications that has or other items that may have by moving that right-of-way, as well as how much it's going to take time and effort to redraw all of our plans that change all that.
I'm trying to get you this building.
Understood.
So if you don't, you know, so the rest is up to you. I'm just trying to get you this building as opposed to that building.
The curb is where it is. The building is where it is. Wherever you put the line in between the two has other implications. But either way, we're going to end up with 19 to 37 feet between the two. Depending on wherever you want to draw that line, is going to have the balance is going to be your setback. But whatever it is, it's 19 to 37 feet.
I think I'd be
Commissioner Morrow.
Excuse me. I think I'd be willing to compromise and have a road easement that's basically the two lane widths. And then we can call, but I would like to make sure the rest of us call it a utility easement so we have some control and we can allow other people to put things there if so needed in the future.
Okay, let's go back to the question. And the question is item 12 here. Allow smaller building setbacks along all public streets up to 0 foot building setbacks from a public right-of-way or corresponding easement, as well as into the associated traffic visibility setbacks, buffer yards, parking lot setbacks, et cetera. Staff recommended, that is the applicant's choice of words.
Correct.
Staff says, not so fast. But they want language that separates it out by building and not doing this one.
Correct. And the vision triangle. And then a special use generally on the public road, Rawson and 76th.
Do we see your language somewhere?
Part of it is in condition number 13 at the end, and then the rest of it is going to be in the site plan resolution.
I knew we were going to get confused. Alderman Dandrea.
But Mr. Deedle, we've got 54 feet there. I know that you're in your analysis, you're leaving an allowance for a future expansion of Rawson Road. And that's where that vision triangle is coming in. Otherwise, right now, that vision triangle doesn't come into play at all as it's currently laid out.
Yes and no. It's still...
Maybe a few driving.
From a technical standpoint, 30 feet from the right-of-way, That's that crosshatch triangle that truly is there. From a, you're driving down the road and you want to see around the corner, yes, you got that 54 feet before you hit that vision corner.
Can I interject? That's a northbound lane that's two lanes there. So your southbound lane that's going to use that vision triangle to want to turn is... That's not going to affect it.
And that's what this is, as per the UDO, is property lines. And what we were proposing is we have a vision triangle from the exit lane.
Oh, I see a vision triangle now.
Yes, yeah. So this is what we were, our interpretation of a vision triangle, if needed, is from the exit lane, not from the property line, which is 85 feet difference between those two. So we're proposing, this is our vision triangle, we are providing one. And it's just, but we're measuring it from the practical sense of the exit lane, not the verbatim of the UDO that says from right away.
Mm-hmm.
And that either way goes to the actual property line, not in counting what this is the future plan for Rawson that we're going to do, that we're working on getting proposed. It's just if they got confirmation from the DOT that they have no issues with what we're doing and building the building up against that property line.
Okay.
If they ever do want to widen that road, they will have to take into account our building being there and any vision triangles that they need to meet their standards, which we do need the Wisconsin DOT standards for the vision trial, more than meet up with what's proposed here. which is we don't need the verbatim interpretation of the UDO saying it's measured from a property line.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Glenn, then we're going to go here. Then I'm going to try to refocus. Okay.
So there's a couple things here just to point out. So this plan is different than what we've seen previously in that there's no parking on the street.
It is the same plan that's in your packet, but in the packet it's noted that we agreed to remove those parking stalls
so,
on the west side. So I just greened in those parking stalls.
So that helps the situation. There's no parking.
It's not in the packet. They just told us that a couple days ago. So they told us that after the packet went out. So it's not in the packet.
Yeah, this shows parking. Okay, so yeah, our plans in the packet show parking.
Okay, yeah. All right. Let's not go crazy here, Commissioner Haley.
I'm thinking maybe there's a compromise here or something that works for everybody.
I'd love to hear that.
They're asking for.
Wait. One thing at a time. Okay, Kevin.
They're asking for universal setbacks on the project into the future. We're looking at a building. If we approve the building, the site plan as it is, don't focus, leave the language in that allows this building to have up to zero setbacks. Then you can negotiate the easement lines, whether it's the curb, the whatever, it won't matter. What we'd be approving in this situation is that building sitting there like that geographically. Now, the question with the other buildings, you know, that's a whole other, you know, how far does trust go thing. But if we were to strike reference to other buildings, allow it up to zero on this building, I think we address the issues and still get another whack at all the other buildings.
Okay.
It is true. Plan Commission does, not the council. If the council is comfortable with that,
I'm okay.
Hey, if they're not comfortable with it, they can change it a week from Tuesday. Okay, so let's try to do one here, okay? So, Kevin, you got suggestions?
I'm thinking here. Allow.
Right, while you're thinking, let me do my little speech here. Can you go back to? Hold on, both of you guys. Can you go back to the site plan, please? Okay, I'm going to jump ahead while Kevin's figuring out the present question. You just hold your horses. Vision triangle. The purpose of this vision triangle has nothing to do with these lanes of traffic. It only has to do with the person driving here, in my view.